Okay, we are called to order at 6 p.m. with Mrs. Polis, myself, Mr. Spence, and Ms. Shoemaker here. The three of us constituting a quorum. Mr. Fuller, I assume you want to address the board before closed session? Okay. You have 5 minutes to address the board, no more than 20 minutes on one topic.
Happened to be in the neighborhood and want to come by and congratulate Ms. Shoemaker, Mrs. Polis, and Mr. Cox for making sure that we have our superintendent. If you have looked around and seen some of the other things that are going on in the... I was just congratulating you on your courage, Mr. Cox, on your vote, but going on in some of the other districts... I know one that's losing over 300 teachers this year, boom, right up the size, which is size, class, and things. And, of course, the rest of the votes kind of been talked around the county, but that's okay. In terms of why I want to came before, it's been precedent and somewhat my understanding under different readings of different codes that negotiations for San Jose Edison Academy should be done in public. Not in private, and we have done so in public, and we've done very successfully in public. It's in terms of student enrollment, it's allowed San Jose Edison to come up and firmly address that they would not have any overage next year, that the accidental overage this year would not occur again next year, and that they wouldn't be back asking for that because we are in tough times and we've been accommodating and we've brought things over and taking that $200,000 from us this year. They would make sure that they weren't taking from our students again next year. And I know they would like to come up. I'm assuming that's what this negotiations are all about, is the opportunity to come back and make that part of the contract. Again, one more time, that they will be at that cap, at the original cap, and they will stay there. I'm assuming that's why they're asking to come forward to renegotiate, to make absolutely sure. And it would be nice if they could do it in public and let the public know. So, leave it at that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Fuller. Okay, we're going to go into closed session now, and we're going to discuss expulsion of two students, public employee discipline dismissal, release and transfer, and assistant superintendent contracts renewal and amendment. And the San Jose Academy negotiations to the contract and regarding student enrollment will not be discussed in closed session. Okay, let's go. Okay, we will return to our regular session here at 7 p.m. It's called to order. We will have an invocation. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to offer an invocation? Okay, seeing none, we'll have an invocation offered by Board Member Polis, and then the flag salute will be offered by Mr. Cox.
Be with us this evening as we make the decisions that affect the students' lives. We want to say a special thank you for all the teachers and administrators that support the children and their families in our community. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in a salute to our flag. We're ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please. Here.
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 Okay, thank you. We did take two action and close session on... What did I do with the expulsions?
Julio.
Can you get the expulsions sheet again? I'll read out the other two. It was moved by Ms. Shoemaker and seconded by Mrs. Polis to extend all assistant superintendent contracts for 2 years beginning July 1st, 2010. And that was approved 5-0. And then it was moved by Mrs. Polis and seconded by Mrs. Shoemaker to add $5,000 to the top of the assistant superintendent scale. And that was approved 4-1 with Eileen Miranda-Jimenez voting no. And then we had two expulsions. Hold on 1 second. while we get that.
Should I get up and go find it? Did you get it? We'll get the form.
Julio went to get it.
Oh, Julio went to get it? Okay.
On the other side of that. Turn that over.
Or is that it? Oh, there it is. Okay. Good. Monica found it. Good.
Thank you, Monica.
Tammy found it. It was moved by Mrs. Paulus and seconded by Mr. Cox to expel the following pupils from the schools of the West Covina School District. Pupil number 150640 caused damage to school property, writing graffiti, and student number 196499, possession of a controlled substance, and those pupils are expelled and will not be eligible to apply for readmission until the date set in the rehabilitation plans, and the vote was 5-0. Okay, items from the floor. We have two requests to address the floor. You have 5 minutes to address each. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes and no more than 20 minutes on the same subject. Rosemary Koenig. Oh, you're right. I did skip over.
Good evening.
It's okay.
I'm at West Covina High School. I'm in the history department, and I'm up here representing my teachers in a general way and talk in a specific way, and just like to say that we are we find some flaws in all three of the calendars, but as talk representatives, we would like to recommend the B calendar. I will speak from my side by saying that there has been some movement. Some idea of ending a semester before Christmas. However, we have not taken any formal or informal votes, and there has been some lightweight discussion the last year and a half, but no serious presentations, just off-the-cuff kind of discussion. So you may have received other information, but there has been no formal or informal voting, just some off-the-cuff discussions. But we are flexible. We thought that starting a week earlier this year was part of an incremental process to eventually get to the point where we would end before the first semester. So an incremental process most people are comfortable with, and so starting on the 12th would be incremental, and we could deal with that. And when we look at the days in the second semester taken up with testing and stuff, the semesters appear to be less unequal than they were just at first view. First view was a concern. So now looking at it more closely, we think that B would be a very workable compromise. So we're supporting B. Thank you.
Robert Berlin.
Good evening. As Rosemary was saying, of the three calendars, the one area I wanted to approach was on calendar C. Calendar C, when we take a look at first semester versus second semester, my focus is on middle school and high school has an assortment of semester classes. Because of those semester classes, and they go from middle school up to the government econ class as a senior, what is taught first semester needs to be taught in the second semester to a different group of kids. An example would be econ as a senior first semester. Another group of kids are taking econ second semester. Calendar C is a 5.5 week difference and 22 day difference. And what that would mean is that in the first semester for calendar C, there are 17 weeks in the semester. In the second semester, there are 22.5 weeks. There's just no way of teaching the same curriculum with a 5.5 week discrepancy in calendar C. The main focus, obviously, is the kids. We want to make sure that all kids get the equal education. We want to make sure that all kids in econ, whether it's first semester or second semester, have equal access to what's being taught. And with a 5.5 week discrepancy, it makes no sense. As Rosemary said, A and B are manageable. B is where, you know, we're looking as maybe the best of the choice. There are extra days in the B calendar, but again, in the second semester, we do have testing. We have other minimum days for testing. We have things happening. which time-wise would bring the time in class more closely together in calendar B. So calendar B would be the preference. Calendar C, please, a 5.5 week and 22-day difference. There's no way of giving equal education to kids in those classes but versus first semester versus second semester. Thank you.
Great. Okay, we're on professional development plan for Walnut Grove Intermediate School.
Good evening. This is Walnut Grove's board presentation of our professional development plan.
For the record, this is Principal Rich Nambu.
Thank you. We wanted to start out and just go over our school mission that we put together this year, which is Walnut Grove Intermediate School empowers students to lead successful lives by providing opportunities to develop academic, social, and emotional maturity. As we look at our scores from last year, our school was really proud. If you look at our 771 of our school-wide, thank you, Ellie, for all of your work that you did. That was an increase of an estimated, since we didn't have a school the year before, of over 40 points. And if you look at the Hispanic and even the SED, how similar all three of those are. We were really proud of that. And even if you look at the EL, they're all fairly similar. There wasn't any great big drop-off. If you looked at the percentage of students who are proficient and above in ELA, again, we made our AMOs last year. We still have a little ways to go to make it to this year. But again, if you look at school-wide, Hispanic, SED, and even the EL, they're fairly similar. They did a good job in all of those areas. If you look in our math didn't make it, our AMOs last year. They still have a ways to go for this year. So they're still very similar, 32, 30, 28, and so on, but we have a ways to go, and we'll kind of talk about how we want to go ahead and how we've addressed those issues. If you look in our change of bands from 6th to 7th grade, and this is for English Language Arts, they improved in each of the five areas. If you look in advanced, there's more advanced. Proficient, there's an increase. Basic, there's a decrease. Below basic, there's a decrease. And far below basic, there's a decrease. So our English Language Arts department did a super job, and you can tell in all of those areas. In our math, if you look at advanced and proficient, they're very similar. There's a little drop-off there in proficiency. In our basic, there was an increase in basic, but the reason we feel that increase in basic, if you look, below basic is, again, pretty similar. In that far below basic, our math teachers did a really good job of helping those kids who were really below, far below, and they moved them up. They moved them up into below basic and into basic. So we were very happy about that lower end, that the math were really able to help those kids. Again, we're working on that advanced and proficient. Our school-wide goals is we want to be that first secondary school to achieve 800 or beyond. We've kind of really wanted to work at that. We want to meet or exceed district AYP goals in math and English language arts. We've wanted to and are creating and implementing a school-wide vision and mission. And we wanted to maintain and grow that Walnut Grove spirit of collaboration. We also wanted to increase higher level thinking skills of students. We'll show you how we wanted to use thinking maps for that. We wanted to become consistent in using data to inform instruction. We wanted to support students in becoming more proactive and support our ELs, special ed, and GATE students. In our professional development plan, the teachers and the staff and us in administration really concentrated on five school-wide foci that we not only wanted to do professional development on, but that you could see implemented in every classroom in our school. And we feel like we've been really successful in that. We wanted to implement thinking maps to increase higher level thinking. We wanted to implement test-taking strategies. We wanted to collaborate in all phases of our school development. We wanted to implement a school vocabulary development plan. And we wanted to create proactive classrooms. So those were kind of those five areas that we really concentrated on the most. Our other parts of our professional development plan was, again, to create a school-wide vision and mission during our in-service day and implement that vision over the next 3 to 5 years. We wanted to roll out Reed 180 and Rosetta Stone, along with Standards Plus and Algebra 1. And we were kind of rolling out year 2 of ST Math and our Standards Plus in English Language Arts. We began our rollout of lesson study in the classroom walkthroughs through Teachscape, and we wanted to use School City to increase our levels of data analysis. So then if you look at our professional development timeline, if you look at the first quarter, it kind of shows two things. It'll start to show those school-wide foci. You'll see the thinking maps there at the top. You'll see that collaboration and test-taking strategies there at the bottom, three of those five. But then also, what did we want to do in math? That we really wanted to start with that standards plus and ST math to get that math conversation going. But what our math teachers have really been able to do is look at collaborating together to collaborate on common lessons. Those were things that in English language arts they did last year and were really successful at doing. This year, our math teachers have really done that. All five of them work together. Common lessons, not only just common pacing plans and things like that, but you'll see common lessons almost every day, every period. They've also done those test-taking strategies, how do we help kids be successful, and as you kind of see, we'll be doing more of that in the next quarters also. Two things again, in this quarter you can see all five of our foci, collaboration, thinking maps, test-taking strategies, vocabulary development, and working on a proactive classroom, getting kids to be proactive. How do we get them to be prepared and to do the things they need to do? But then also, as we looked in our math, that vocabulary development, how do we help kids understand that academic vocabulary? That was big. To be able to look at kids being proactive also, right? Being able to do their work every day and do all those sorts of things. Those were going to help us. In quarter three, quarter we're in right now, we've kind of added a few things. That's when we did our vision and mission in January. We're working on that Teachscape walkthrough form, and we have an event. It's called Frogapalooza that they started last year where we dissect frogs and have some great activities and things like that. We're working our way through that right now. In quarter four, along with our CST preparation, we really wanted to be working on steps of implementing our vision and mission, but then reflecting on the past year, what worked and what didn't work. If we looked at that school-wide foci, we can start to look and go, gosh, were our kids really, was it really a proactive classroom? What else do we need to sort of do? How is our vocabulary development going? We know it doesn't just happen in a year. And then prioritizing for our school-wide foci for next year, what are those things, that those few things that we really want to say every teacher in every classroom are going to do? The teachers and staff at Walnut Grove are just so thoughtful and reflective and willing to learn. It's been just a joy to lead them and be with them. And our whole Walnut Grove family thanks you for all your support. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Some of the board have some questions. Cami?
Do you have a special day class there?
We don't have any special day classes. We have a couple of pullouts with our READ 180 program where some of our special ed kids are getting some extra support, one in math, but we don't have a special day classroom.
And that was your significant group that you didn't say students with disabilities were right up there. They were significantly lower. What are you doing to bring up that specific group, especially since you don't have a special day class, but sometimes you have to weigh that in? So you're having some students with
issues, right?
Issues, but these students are primarily all learning disabled, and they don't need to be in a special day class. So
right.
they don't have the same kind of issues that you would see in a special day class.
Right.
So I thought I would see the scores a little bit higher under those circumstances.
Hmm. So, you know, what we've done is we've rolled out that READ 180, which has been helping kids be able to read, which is just such a big barrier for them, right, to be able to really do well. We've looked at, I mean, there's that collaborative model, not kind of separate from collaboration, but that collaborative model where we have a teacher with our regular ed teacher, and we've really made some progress in really being able to do that a lot better, and hopefully that's making a big difference. We look at thinking maps as a way for whether it's our special ed kids or any kids be able to look at what's going on inside of their mind, because no matter what students, they always have the thoughts on how to be able to do it, but it's for a special ed kid especially, how do they actually write it, and how do they actually say it? So thinking maps has really given them a way to be able to say, here's a map to be able to put down what you're thinking. whether it's when you're analyzing something or contrasting things, instead of just asking them, contrast these things. Well, you can use this map. Here's a bubble map that you can start to write things down and so on and so forth. So all the kids in all of those collaborative classes, that has been really good. Our vocabulary development, we've really tried to kind of go away from here in social studies and science, do those 25 vocabulary words at the end and just kind of start to memorize them, but to start to look and go, what are the ones that we really want kids to know? Let's go ahead and let's write out those definitions in words that you know, that in student-friendly words. Let's make a picture of it. Let's tell us what it doesn't work, whether that's using just some of our subject areas are using that Frayer model. They do it in kind of four separate steps on a card. Our ELA have these toolbox cards. But in all those things, that those are those sorts of things that our students with disabilities really have trouble with, reading, vocabulary development, and so on and so forth. So we've tried to do that not just for our special ed kids, but for all of our kids. And that way, you know, you're thinking it's not just certain kids that are getting it, but everyone's getting it. And when you do it in those collaborative classes, we're hoping and really hopefully seeing that the students with disabilities are also learning it better.
With how many of those students can use the mapping type thing? Because if you use assistive technology, you have it written into your IEP, you can actually use that during the testing. I don't believe the mapping is considered a special accommodation on their IEPs, but there is technology that does the same thing, that helps you put your thoughts together to brainstorm. Are any of those students accessing that while they're taking the testing?
The technology that actually uses
right.
that? On the testing that they're taking, the test they're taking on right now or the end of the year test?
All tests, but I was specifically talking about the state testing.
So we've had those conversations and so on, and so we've worked with our special ed teachers and trying to work on a plan where all those accommodations can be had for that end of the year test.
And are they being utilized? Because it sounds like you're really utilizing them in the classroom, although since it's not written at specific technology for that individual student, and it may be?
Well, it's not technology. It's a map that they can create themselves, so there's scratch paper available, so if they know that they need to contrast things, they can use their scratch paper to create that double bubble and work on it right there, so there's nothing additional that they need or any accommodation that would need to be written in. It's just part of their work process that gets done throughout the year, so they absolutely have access to it for any test that they're taking.
Mm-hmm. And there is technology, though, that does that for them.
There and may be, but the thinking maps as we're implementing it is not technology-based.
Okay. I'm just looking at it, and the score seems significantly lower, and I didn't know if they were able to utilize other instruments to show what they actually knew.
Right.
Well, I think one other difference this year is last year were there co-op classes? So that's one change this year. Everybody was in the collaborative classes last year, whereas this year we do have a collaborative or a pullout for language arts and math. So hopefully that will help with meeting
some of their needs.
The the other question I had was on the other end, of the spectrum. Do you have honors classes or are all students in one classroom?
We don't have all students are in heterogeneous classrooms.
Okay. And then at Edgewood, there were some honors, and I believe they might have just implemented that at Hollencrest. Is that something that you were thinking of implementing at Walnut Grove?
So we've thought about that, and we've thought about the pros and the cons of having honors classes and so on and so forth, and we're thinking of next year of having honors classes.
Okay. And so you wouldn't differentiate in the classroom, then you would actually have a different classroom.
Yeah, we would do right, but yeah, for those kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Those are the two questions I had.
Mr. Cox?
You may have touched already on with some of your answers, Tammy, but I'm very interested in this whole concept of your vocabulary development and this plan that you're going to do. You're in the second quarter now. I'm not sure where we are. But you talked about doing this wherever it is. How is vocabulary learned? And then I guess in the third quarter, this monitoring and supporting. You expand on that something more?
It started in kind of two ways that our English Language Arts Department has for the past years used something called their toolbox, where they've sort of taken the 100-plus words that they feel like are really the most important for the kids to know, and made kind of these little cards, and all the kids make these cards of each of these toolboxes. And it has on there a picture of what it would look like, and they've gone through a lot of work to try and have a picture, have it in student-friendly words, have it in what it isn't, and so on and so forth, and have kids really work through that vocabulary themselves. Now, Karen Bonstad and Lorraine Gomez have been sort of working on that from Hollandcrest, Karen says, for about maybe 5 years, kind of tweaking that and looking at that and so on and so forth. As we saw how much kind of that affected kids not being able to access academic vocabulary, we kind of said, wow, you guys in ELA, as you saw, they did so well. We're trying to say, you know, what really worked? And so the other core departments, actually all our departments, even our electives, started to look at, okay, so how could we do that? And so in each of those areas, we kind of started with, how does anyone learn vocabulary? And, you know, people would start to say, whether it was through, oh, it's through repetition. It's through reading a lot and seeing it in context. It's about actually having some sort of a visual or picture of what it would mean. It's about putting it in your own words. It's about finding out what it isn't, and so on and so forth. So we made kind of in each of those levels kind of these big lists of maybe 10 to 20 things of how we as adults learn vocabulary, and then started to look at going, okay, which are the ones that are the most important, and which are the ones for students will be the most important. And so in each of those levels, in both now, all three, science, social studies, math, and actually then electives, they've all taken a version of that, where they've taken what do we feel like are the most important words, because again, if you pull 20 words out, at least we feel like, if you pull 20 words out a week and say, memorize these and know the definition and write a sentence, that they don't necessarily retain them all. That we want to say in seventh grade science, what are the 50 or 75 most important academic vocabulary words that you're going to keep using? What are they in eighth grade? So that way we can work on them week after week and kind of always go through, okay, you're going to analyze, or what does hypothesis mean, and not just do it over those two-week spans. So we looked at making lists, what words were important, and then kind of going over in professional development, okay, what does that mean? And I remember the first time we were in science, and we were going over just the first word, and it took us like 30 minutes because everyone had a different definition. Huh. Well, this is what I think it is. And so you think, well, what are the kids going to think? And what a powerful kind of statement to go, that's how we learn. I mean, adults learn very similarly to kids, and it's trying to go through that process because it's hard for us as adults sometimes because we already know the words to just kind of say, well, memorize it. I know what it is, but it's trying to think back. What is really effective for kids, and how do we really do that? So we're not in any way, space or form, in the other three areas in a space to go, oh, it's all done, and we're ready to go, and the kids all know it. So we're in year one, and Karen has been really helpful for us in going, you know, this isn't a three-month process for you guys. It'll take you a few years. So we have the words. We're trying it out. People have them on PowerPoints, on quizzes, and all those sorts of things. But we're working on that. And we're really committed over the next 3 to 5 years to be going, the foci that we have, we'll keep getting better at it. And we'll keep working at it. But it's an important goal. And so that's kind of where we're at.
And this works for the ELA students and those who are trying to learn a second language, for instance?
Yeah, for the ELs, it's so much, we feel like it's so much helps kids have access rather than go in the back of the book, write down the glossary definition, and try and write a sentence. That for them to be able to talk about it, for them to be able to see a picture of it, especially those nonverbal linguistic representations and so on and so forth, those are those types of things that we really feel like will help students with disabilities, ELs, but we also know that any of that really good differentiation helps all the kids, mm-hmm. honors kids too, so that's kind of how we're looking at it.
Thank you for your presentation,
oh,
and thank
welcome.
You, staff, for coming out to support the presentation. It was a pleasure. I have a few questions, some of which you touched on, which is that you're going to add the honors classes for next year. I'm very pleased to hear that,
okay.
because we need that sort of preparation for high school and the
yeah.
rigor of the high school academics. So
right.
thank you. Currently, since they're very homogeneous, how are you keeping the Gates students advanced? They're obviously advanced. How are you keeping them advanced, being that they're in a homogeneous classroom.
And so every classroom that our teachers are able to, well, are really desiring and trying to go, how can we both differentiate for whether it's students with disabilities and scaffold and so on and so forth, but enrich the curriculum for the students who kind of already say, well, I can do that, right? I can do those pages and so on and so forth, whether it's in asking higher level questions, in giving projects that have different sorts of levels that almost all four of our core areas every quarter have a quarter project where kids can, whether it's like you have a science project, you know, in the third quarter for this, where hopefully kids who are gate kids can really get into something a little bit meatier, that's something that's not just here, go into the back of the book and we're trying to find information and so on and so forth, that hopefully on as regular level as we can, trying to look at, well, what are those kids' needs as well as, right? How do we scaffold those other things? And so our teachers have worked really hard at that to try and do that on all those levels. But, I mean, for us, as we looked at even what you're saying, that was one of the things that teachers sort of struggled with, to go to say, here we have five special ed kids and five gate kids. And five. It was hard for them to try and do it all and do it in a 44-minute period. And so they've tried as hard as they can. I know we've tried to kind of figure that out. And so that's, I think, one of the other reasons, as well as getting prepared for high school honors classes and so on and so forth, to say, let's have some honors classes where then we can teach this and really kind of concentrate on that.
Excellent. Thank you. The next question is, we're in the third quarter, so your benchmark data, your other measures, I know you said the goal is to increase 30 points. Where are you on target? What is your data showing you at this point?
So as we look at our benchmark data and things like that, it's not at a point where we've looked at it and it looks and goes, oh, it looks like we're at that 58% level and so on. And so we've really sort of tried to go, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're not going to make it on those on the state tests and so on and so forth? And as we've had those conversations, it's been a little bit of a couple things. One, sort of looking at, and I know even ELA sort of helping us, going, last year the scores didn't look like that. They weren't all in that 50% range. So don't just sit there and get down that, oh, it's not in this range and so on and so forth. And as they've sort of looked at those benchmark exams, that it hasn't always been in at the level where the teachers were able to look and go, this is exactly how we've gotten them ready, and they're ready for this benchmark, and we're doing it. So they've been teaching through their quarters, and at least kind of the way we've kind of talked to them about it is to be able to go, we want our students to be able to go deeper, to be able to look at all of those higher level thinking skills, to do all this vocabulary development and so on and so forth that we're doing. And we know that sort of takes a little bit longer. And it's, for us, that kind of constant tension that teachers will go, well, we can just test prep and get them ready for the benchmark, or we can do all these other sorts of things that also show what kids really know and how they know it, right? Whether it's writing in math or doing essays and so on and so forth. And so it's been a little bit of both, and I know people have struggled with both, but we have great confidence in both ELA and math. By doing both of those things, in the long run, the kids on the state test will do great.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. We appreciate you giving us this presentation today. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jessica, do you have anything to report? Eileen?
Okay. I just wanted to let everyone know that I did master's in governance training, so thank you very much. It was excellent, got great, learned some great skills and techniques that I will be meeting with the superintendent with. In celebration of the Dr. Seuss, I visited 5 classrooms. I went to Orangewood to observe the SFA program in action, so thank you to Orangewood for having me there. I went to Edgewood to tour the facility to take a look at the modifications for the new high school, and then also to observe the READ 180 program. So thank you again to Edgewood. I wanted to thank each of the assistant superintendents who've allowed me to come into their offices and bring me up to speed. Ms. Valentine, thank you. I met with you within this period. And I also was extremely pleased with the San Jose Edison Academy quarterly report. Thank you very much. I didn't realize we did this. So I'm very pleased. Thank you, Ruben, and thank you, Superintendent, for putting this together. I look forward to getting them on a quarterly basis. And I was just curious if we're going to be getting the CAVA one as well. I'm assuming we're doing this for all the charters? Or
no, just those that negotiated that.
Okay. Can we?
CAVA did not negotiate that. So next time when we negotiate with CAVA, you can ask for that kind of a thing. It's only in the Edison. The other ones do a financial quarterly.
Okay.
And so the board does get that as part of our report.
Okay, so then these aren't quarterly report, because it's a quarterly report, so I assumed that we were getting them on a quarterly basis.
You are.
It's an excellent report.
You are.
Okay, so we'll...
I'm from San Jose Edison.
Okay, so can we also get a report for the for CAVA and how
when
it's
it,
doing?
When it comes time to negotiate their contract, you
only
can ask
when
for
we
that.
Negotiate.
Right
okay.
Now what they have in their contract is their financials, and Mr. Frutos brings those to you.
Okay. Well, thank you. The report was excellent. It was
and
good
thank
data.
You to Mr. Frutos who
yes.
helped Sandra Jewett, in case you haven't met her. Dr. Jewett actually put that together with Ruben.
It was a very good report. Okay, good. So then we're going to get these quarterly, and CAVA, we won't get it until we negotiate with them. Is that correct?
Correct.
And they agree.
We negotiated.
And they
yes.
agree.
Yes, and they agree.
And we agree, yeah.
Negotiation takes two sides.
Okay, thank you. That was it for my report.
Okay. Student representative report.
Academically, this week, AP tests have now been completed. Registration is now over. And we are in the range of 350 students taking AP tests this
All right.
Year.
Wow. Yay.
So a big improvement.
Good.
And KC test exams, big week next week for our sophomores. They're taking the KC exams. And this Friday, we're having a WASC accreditation team building for our teachers. So they're preparing for next year, and it should be a good rest for our sophomores next year. I mean, next week. And we have our executive board elections, so my term is coming to an end soon. This Thursday is our elections for the new executive board for ASB. Sadie Hawkins Dance will be this Saturday, too. So a lot of things going on at West Covina High School. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. If we're going to continue on with the agenda, but if you want to sneak out because you were here for something else, you can go ahead and do so quietly. So go ahead. Sometimes we take a break, but we're not going to this time. So the train has already left. Any other requests from the public that wish to address the board on any topic? Okay, seeing none, we're at approval of agenda and consent items. Does anyone wish to take an item off consent? Off consent, anyone? On consent, anyone? I don't think. Okay. Is there a motion to approve as presented?
I move.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of March 9th, 2010. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it's approved. We're on item number 9, information report, student calendar.
Thank you, board members. I would ask Mr. Seaman, assistant superintendent, to come forward to the microphone.
In your packets, excuse me, in your packets there's three calendars that we had gone to some of the leaders of our different groups, the teachers, the parents, the classified staff, some of our principals, and got their input on these three calendars, calendar A, B, and C, which are all in your packets. Calendar A is quite similar to the calendar we have this year. The holidays are on a traditional basis. The semester ends basically the same approximately the same time this year. There's traditional, the semester would end the third week of January, not before winter break. Calendar B that you have there would start a little bit earlier, a week earlier than we're starting this year. The first semester would end prior to Christmas break, or excuse me, prior to winter break. And the holiday breaks for winter, spring, and Thanksgiving would be the traditional 2 weeks, 2 days, and 1 week. Then calendar C is the same as calendar B, except you have a week-long break for Thanksgiving, and then those 3 days are added to the end of the second semester. Some issues that you have with each of these calendars. All the calendars, when it comes to STAR or CST testing or however you know it, the state testing, are the same because that window of state testing is based on a percentage of instructional days, 85%, if I'm not mistaken. So whether you start earlier or start later, that test would come at 85% of your instructional days. So there is no difference for CST STAR testing. For KC tests,
all three of them
would be the same because your window would shift. Mm-hmm. So if you start earlier, your window shifts earlier. If you start later, your window shifts later for those tests. For KC and AP testing, those are set dates. So in calendar B and calendar C, you would have more instructional days prior to AP testing and KC testing. And I remember our KC testing, the March census, is that correct? I look to Mrs. Valentine sometimes. That census is where we get our federal AYP and whether we meet those goals. So more instructional time before that would be an advantage. The committee members, when they met, and the talk has come up here and spoken, they all leaned in towards B for different reasons. A lot of them, the parents liked the break, the natural break of winter break being the semester break also. There was some concern that when students come back from the winter break, it takes a little bit to get back into the swing of things, and you lose some of that instructional time. So it adds a transition before you get to that next semester. There is an imbalance when you look at calendar C between first semester and second semester, as Mr. Berulin alluded to. There's that slight imbalance that you have with calendar B also, but there are testing days that we took into account where students aren't in class in instruction time. They're actually taking state tests or AP tests or KC tests, and those activities in B would balance those out. So you have more of a balance between first and second semester. There is a slight issue with calendar C with the classified staff. Those 3 extra days at Thanksgiving can pose a problem for some classified staff in taking vacation or PN or personal necessity time at that stage. They're all pretty similar. They all accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish, but there are some differences there and some slight issues there.
Okay. Can I ask one question? Who were the parent representatives?
The parent representative was Cynthia Escobar.
Okay, so did we consult with parents that have kids in the school district at all?
We consulted with the leaders and gave, which we've done in the past, and then usually they consult with their groups. Whether she did or not,
okay.
I can't answer that.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Does someone have comments before we, or questions? Let's do questions before we figure out if there's a consensus. Any questions? I had a question, and the one problem that I have with B is that to me it seems that B ends really early compared to what parents are used to when school ends. Like the school would end June 3rd, so we'd have graduation, what, June 2nd, June 1st? Yeah. And I think that's, you know, traditionally that'd be a change for what we currently do by a couple weeks. And I know there was the one year where we approved, I felt very late, a calendar where we moved up the start date and people were used to having a vacation kind of, you know, at the end of August. That was my concern about B. And actually, it brings up another issue, too, I'll talk about in a second, I think. But, you know, that was a concern. I mean, both of these end earlier than we do now.
Right.
Yeah.
This year we end on the 10th, so it's about a week.
Yeah, so.
And we're starting a week earlier, so yes,
yeah.
That's correct.
So, I mean, that was a concern I had. But I don't know if anybody else has any comments or questions, or what do you guys want to do?
Well,
Cammy?
I think it's important that we do think about the AP testing, because when I went to back to school, like, they were talking in several of the AP classes how they were going to have to get through all of the material very rapidly. This would give them more of a chance to do that. So that, and especially since the parents are actually paying for that testing, it would be nice for them to have as much prep time as possible. Is there a way to get more parent input, or does this have to be decided tonight?
Well, it's an informational report tonight, so you're not actually taking.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah,
some of the concern when I met with the committee is that, you know, their people are looking for a calendar so they can make plans. So we don't want to approve mm-hmm. too late like we did the one year. But
well, the school site councils, they would get some input from. Is there a way, would they meet before the next time we meet and have input from each one of the school site councils? And that, it was wrong on my part. I was assuming we were already doing that, but it sounds like we did not.
Yeah, well, we've usually done it with district council. So, I mean, I don't know when school site councils meet.
It was
well,
last.
Each school has their calendar, but I don't know when they all are.
I think it would be a very good idea. We meet with principals this Thursday to say to them that we'd like them to meet with their councils and get back to us before the board takes action. Obviously, we didn't want to, you know, we wanted the board to see. These calendars actually come from the Los Angeles County Office of Education every year. And in the past, you know, there have been times where just one calendar comes forward for action.
Right.
And so this time we thought, well, we need to hear what board members feel and then take that back, get you more input, and then have you vote. So your point is very well taken.
Kimmy?
And then the other question I had was, if they took a week off at Thanksgiving, I was wondering what the absentee rate was during that time and how much ADA we were missing during that week.
You have common questions.
And is that information readily available? And I do hear what the teachers were saying, that it was difficult, so it's not something I'm leaning towards. But I'm just wondering about the ADA issue.
It's readily available, and I have Monday and Tuesday of that week is relatively the same as any other Monday or Tuesday throughout the year. Wednesday is the absentee rate is slightly higher.
Mr. Cox?
I'm not quite as old as some past board members like Pete Sabatino, but I do tend to favor more of the more traditional. Quite honestly, if I had my way, I'd go back to starting after Labor Day. But okay, apparently that isn't even in the ballpark. But just generally speaking, I would. So I tend to favor more towards A.
Yeah. Mr. Shimigo?
I'm leaning towards B. In the time that I've been on the board, there's been one constant when it comes to the calendar, and that is the teacher saying, we would like a calendar that gives us more time before we get into testing. I was talking to our student rep before the meeting. He said it would be wonderful to have a little bit more time before AP testing to get more curriculum in there, more studying. Our student rep last year also mentioned that, you know, coming back from winter break, basically having a week and then going straight into testing didn't work for him because he fully admitted that it took a while for him and other students to get settled back down. And I also heard teachers last year mention that while it takes the students some time to settle back down, it's also tough for them to sort of re-cram everything in right before they get to their final testing to do the final review. I think it is more natural to have the break end at winter break and everybody to go away for 2 weeks and come back refreshed and start with the second semester.
Yeah.
So I see B as a natural progression, as was stated during oral comments, of what we have already started. It's the track that is followed by universities also on the semester system, and ultimately that's where we would like our students to end up. So we might as well get them started. So I would hope that we would go with B.
Helene?
Okay. My concerns were covered very well by Kemi, thank you, which was about the parents. My other concern is if this is starting this year, we need to do a really good job of promoting when the first day of school is, because I know our vacation's already set, so there are other families, I'm sure, that are facing the same thing for this year. Maybe not for next year, June, but for this year. Because many jobs require that you place your vacation. So my concern is the parents actually having bodies here when school starts. So doing a really good PR effort with the schools.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it?
Eileen. Excuse me. Just any feedback on which particular calendar you like?
The B.
Okay.
Because I like Jessica. I do like that it ends before Christmas. At Christmas, it's a good break.
Yeah. I lean towards A, just to make it more muddled, simply because of the end date of, you know, I think that the June 3rd is too much, I think, too fast for where we're at, which brings up, and I am looking back for feedback. Mrs. Polis gave some suggestions of parents that are actually going to be affected by, I think that's important that we talk to parents that are going to be affected by that calendar, you know, before we make a decision on it. And that brings up the issue, and I don't know, you know, maybe staff could address it. Is it possible to try to come up with like a two-year calendar so that we can, you know, start these changes and have 2 years across, you know, about so that way it's very clear for 2 years what our program's going to be, and that might give us more time when we start going into that rather than, you know, because it's been hit and miss in my years with calendars. Sometimes we approve them way late. sometimes, you know, earlier. Is that doable or is that not doable?
I think that's an excellent idea.
I mean, because I think that would be, you know, so maybe we can start discussions.
As long as it's B, it's an excellent idea.
Well, we'd have to do it right. We'd have to do the second year calendar right away because the school year would be ending soon. Because suddenly the end of the school year would be on us. But I just think that, you know, we should already start work on the calendar for the next year because I do think, I know especially when we approved that one, the board approved that one calendar late because I didn't vote for it. It really bothered me because I know there were people that had put in requests for vacations and things like that. And then, you know, to try to get that all monkeyed around is a problem. So I think, you know, if we can figure that out ahead of time.
We get our information from the county that's out far enough that we could do that for sure.
So then maybe after we settle this between, from what I'm hearing, C is not in the running from anyone, is that what I hear, basically? Is that, Cammie, you're the one that kind of just didn't pick?
The only thing I was wondering about is the ADA and the loss to ADA in that week. And it, you answered the question that it would be just the Wednesday that would be affected.
When I looked at those 3 days, the Monday, Tuesday were basically the same as any other Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, and that actually raised another question when you said that. Thanks for reminding me. Was that about 5 years ago, there was a thing done about the calendar and substitutes, mm-hmm. that there were days where we had to have more substitutes than others by high percentages. The ADA wasn't off, but, you know, we had to have lots of substitutes. And, you know, has that been an issue, or is that an issue with any of these calendars where historically we've had those kinds of problems?
We do, and we address them actually in this calendar. If you look at the Veterans Day,
all three calendars.
Same.
Okay.
Veterans Day is always on the 11th. When it falls on a Thursday or a Tuesday,
you start
the problem for that Monday or Friday.
Yeah, it causes a lot of illnesses. Yeah,
we're taking actually the 11th and 12th off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because there is a huge drop in student attendance and staff attendance on that day we saw in previous years. The other days we look at are usually the Good Friday, before Easter, before spring break. But actually, our spring break incorporates that because we take the week before Easter off. So we solve that issue. And then the other day that's an issue is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Great.
So we've addressed two of the three.
So is there an interest on the part of the board for us to explore a 2010-12 calendar?
Absolutely. 11.
Yes.
No, they want 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
10, 11, 11, 12.
Yeah, correct. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, maybe we need to just approve this one, and then we can approve another one right after. I mean, this one we need to approve, I think, at our next meeting. We need to tell people, you know. But I think if we can approve the following year's calendar earlier, that would be good. Yeah, I mean, if it's ready. I mean, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else from the board on this?
Are we getting direction that when we get input from the parents and whatever other groups may be asked, are we giving direction that we are presenting A and B, or are we saying?
I think they can look at it. I don't know. We haven't given direction. I mean, I think it's reasonable. If suddenly all the parents group said they wanted C, I think we'd look at it a lot harder. But I think, you know, I don't have a problem with them looking at it, but I think they should know up front that we're kind of leaning towards A or B.
That's fine. We'll explain it to the principals.
Do you think that works? Do you think it works? That work okay? Right with everybody? Okay. We're done with this item then.
Thank you, Mr. Seaman.
Yep, we're on item number 13, second interim report.
Thank you, Mr. Frutos. Could you come up to the podium, please?
You know, while Ruben's come up here, I didn't see him hiding behind there, but we had Mr. Fuller here at 6 o'clock, and we do have Mr. Sabatino, who's a longtime former president of our board, and so glad to see you there. What I can see of you.
Mr. Frutos.
I wanted to give you a very brief report on our second interim. Basically, what we did over the last 3 months is present to you a budget and then a first interim report. And if you recall, the first interim report was approved by the county office without any reservations. The second interim report presents a stable picture in our budget. It reduces some of the expenditures from the first interim, and it also presents an operation where even with the questions regarding cash flow from the state, we continue to have an ending balance that will be positive for this year and the next 2 years. So each one of the subsequent 3 years will present a positive position. We expect the county to approve it without any reservations. There is not a single negative balance in all our funds. As a matter of fact, the county commented that there aren't many districts that are showing all funds without negative balances. And if you look at the back of the criteria and standards, all our funds are positive for each one of the 3 years. The only other thing that I want to mention is that our interim report takes into consideration for the 3 years the various proposals for reduced funding from the state. If those were to change to the positive, we will come to you for an updated budget report within the next couple of months that would look a little bit better. If some of the changes proposed by the state change in a different direction, the future report will reflect that. But at this point, every single proposed change is included in our projections for the 3 years. And with that, we expect the county to approve it without any reservations. And if there are questions, I'll be happy to.
Okay. Eileen, you have questions?
Come back to me. I need to find
Who has questions? Anyone else have questions? Okay, we're looking. You have questions?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Just because we got time and we can. Okay, I'm on page, I think, 13F.
And
okay. Came to me a little bit quicker than I thought, but I'm on 13F. Just looking at, you know, the fund balances, the change in the fund balances and that, and I do notice that, you know, we are looking at a $10 million reduction in our ending fund balance, general fund ending fund balance. And I'll let you explain, but I presume that it has to do with more of the timing of the bond completion and that sort of thing, that we're not running a deficit per se.
Exactly. Actually, that's a very good question, because one of the things I was explaining to the superintendent, she asked a similar question earlier on today and when we started analyzing the budget a while ago.
She's extraordinarily intelligent.
what we have is kind of a mixture of several points in time that are crossing, and I'll explain. If you remember, over the last 2 years, we've received a significant increase in one-time monies, first from the state in 06, 07, 07, 08, and over the last 2 years, the ARRA funding. What we did is we fully expended those funds in the current year. Otherwise, it triggers an audit from the county. So as you look at the $10 million difference, at the end of the year, that will begin to reduce. If you look at your first interim report, it was $11.7 million. Now it's dropped down to a little over $10 million. And right. We expect that as the remainder of the year continues, that amount will reduce significantly. However, the one-time money is designed to be spent, because remember, we did all those assurances that over 2 years it has to be fully spent. So one of the ways you can look at this is that our budget used to have, let's say, an ending balance of 10, 13, 17, 25. The 25 is not really a remaining value, if I can use that term. It needs to drop down to address the expenditures of all the one-time monies that we're doing. So I was beginning to list some of those, because I figure you would ask some of those questions. We have federal one-time money, as I just explained, revenue limit one-time reduction, which is reflected in the budget, and that now may continue, revenue limit ongoing reduction, and then the special settlement from CAVA. If you remember, we went to the CELPA 2 years ago and requested a change in formula because the three-year averaging was having a negative impact on them. Well, they gave us a one-time settlement of $700,000, which CAVA received, but reflects in our budget for the present year. So it looks like we spent $700,000 out of the blue. It really isn't. It's $700,054 that are a pass-through. So some of these amounts, even though they look like our expenditures for the year have a differential of $10 million, are one-time amounts that are really passing through to other entities. And finally, there's $2 million that we are very happy we're spending, because it's the fire reimbursement. So if you remember, we requested that the insurance reimburse us for this. If you actually look at our facility over here, now you begin to see this gigantic skeletal metal building. That $2.4 million shows like an expense to us, but in reality is being reimbursed by the insurance as we spend the money. So if I could tell you a picture from the $10 million, I would say that in reality is more like a $6 million expense, and the majority of that is one-time money that needed to be spent over the next 24 months. So I'm expecting that our funds will reduce, but most of it is necessary. We have to spend the fire money that we received, we have to spend the one-time ARA money, and we have to pass through the settlement of special aid. Okay.
On 13E, on line C, it has this excess, this deficiency, revenues, expenditures, and excess expenditures. Generally speaking, if you don't have this off the top of your head, I just would like over a period of time to know, just over the five-year period, if you take out all of these one-time fluctuations and things, what that cumulative net revenue or expenses would be.
Actually, I just did it because I kind of memorized it. 7, 8, 10, 13, 15, 22, 25, and now it'll reduce back down to about 16 and 17 because of the one-time.
But that's all. Yeah, but I'm talking about cumulative. If you took those numbers, that line, took out all those one-time monies and said, okay, what would be the adjusted net revenues or expenses over such and such?
Over
what would that cumulative over the last, I don't know, let's say 5 years?
Well, let me give you three because that's really when we started getting the big one-time money. 3 or 4 years, it would be about $7 million of one-time monies that need to be accounted for over the next 24 months in expenses.
Okay, I'm not making myself clear, but I'll get to you in the middle of the week.
Okay.
It's just a number that I'm interested in. I'm on page 13KK, looking at the cash flow worksheet. And again, I think I'm just reiterating something that, you know, you had told us before. I'm just again pointing it out. We're doing pretty good. You know, we've got, you said, I think, last time, 4 months of cash? Is it four or six? I can't remember exact.
And one of the things we mentioned to you that is happening, and again, it's something that the superintendent and I discussed over the last few weeks, is that the state is holding to their promise to hold cash past the end of the year. So one of the things that we've made sure, because if you remember, the board asked how many months do we have that we can survive if there's a significant delay in funding. And we had said we want to make sure that we have three. We would love to have five or six. Well, beginning this year, there's now three delays announced. One is that our current cash will not be given until 2 months from now, perhaps three. And there's another delay that's not projected to come until after August.
Wow.
The cash flow that we have, actually, the county is very happy because we're one of the few districts that can remain without any type of borrowing. No trans, no mitigated bonds, no nothing. We can continue until the end of the year without borrowing against any other entity. So what little interest we earn, we can actually keep versus other.
And I would just put a caveat to that is that that is the case as long as we watch spending.
Right. That's absolutely right. I mean, it's just a very unique thing, and, you know, when you tell people, other board members that we see, maybe as you've talked to others, that, you know, I mean, they're just stunned, you know, that they're not having to do these things on a daily basis. So we're quite fortunate. On the very last page, 13YYY, I guess I should go with them, why, but as I recall, at some point in time, you had anticipated, I think, a question whether or not that we would have to make some major radical changes in our projections and assumptions with respect to what the state may do in education funding of that. Have we changed? Have we moved forward? Or we?
Two major changes from last year. One, we are right now assuming a continuance of the one-time $253 reduction that we saw last May.
And you said it was going to be how much?
Originally, we thought it was going to be $33, then $150, and then it went to...
Did that revolt happen?
Yeah. And you said who would... You said L.A.,
actually,
Long Beach, San Francisco,
Fresno.
I think
Fresno.
I mentioned a couple of districts that are now about to receive a gigantic loan or things like that. So it's interesting.
If the interest rate's good enough, we'll send cash.
We would love to do that.
All right. So where do you think we are, Orivan?
That projection, well, it's reflected there. The other thing we haven't received is the mid-year change to the state budget, which, as you know, we call the May revise. Once that happens, typically within 2 weeks, we come to you with an update. We meet with the superintendent.
Right. Okay.
We look at our factors. So you will see this change after May revise again.
All right.
I do want to point one thing that we were very happy with this budget. If I can take you, you don't have to go, but if you go to page 13000, it's where we show the increases in health and welfare insurance over the last year and the next 2 years. And if you notice, it's averaging 9.7%. We had a meeting with our insurance group of districts in the area, and we're one of the few districts, and it was actually just two districts out of 17, that is going up in single digits in insurance, as most districts are going up in double digits. So we appreciate the allowance to go to CalPERS. It proves to have been a good move in the present year.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Frutos.
You have questions?
No. Thank
questions?
You.
Great. Thank you very much. I need a motion. Moved by Mr. Shoemaker.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Cox to approve the second interim report with positive certification. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. It's approved 5-0. Board of Education discussion. Mr. Shoemaker?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Shoemaker?
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Dr. Leis Castillo, I wanted to ask if I keep asking the principals, and we're in the third quarter now, about where their benchmarks are. Is there any way to get a report on their data and where they, how they're performing and how they're moving, so that all the board can see to make sure we're on target with our stats, our data, our benchmarks?
I would say yes, we can get it. We have, you know, data systems to get you that. So we can give you an indication. I'm not so sure that indication is a predictor of what happens in the actual scores at the end. Yeah, but we can get that for you.
Okay, great. Just go ahead and put that in our packets.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, everyone?
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, next board meeting is March 23rd, and then there's the open house at San Jose Edison on March 25th. There'll be no further business. We are adjourned at 8:04 p.m.